The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and Tyler to Oilers Nation Radio, episode 215. Bag Milk, Rick, Tyler here. Going to talk a little Oilers for the next hour of your life or whatever is going on in our lives, because there's not really a whole lot of hockey talk going on right now. But we got work to do anyway. Got to shout out our friends at Oodle Noodle. 17 locations and counting around the city. And of course, you can find them on DoorDash. If you don't feel like leaving your house today, you've worked enough for another week. I wouldn't blame you if you want to get some delivery with our friends at DoorDash. Oodle Noodle, a vessel for deliciousness. Tyler, thoughts?
Yep. I agree with you. Whether you're getting Oodle Noodle delivered right to your door or whatever on a Friday night.
How's your vacation?
My vacation. I guess this is my first ONR since coming back. It was good. Golfed a lot, drank a lot. Sometimes did both at the same time.
How'd you shoot?
Oh, fuck. I did okay. We golfed around in Golden and one in Canmore. I did okay.
Okay. Give us a number.
I think I was 86 in Golden and 84 in Canmore.
Ooh, look at you. You are good.
But fucking Tower Ranch in Kelowna just kicked my ass. Like, we're talking mid 90s with a handful of, like, I'm going to re-tee here real quick.
Ooh.
Which I wasn't doing in the other rounds. Like, the other rounds I actually golfed pretty well.
That but happens though.
That, like, for me, once I know I've lost the round by like the ninth hole and it's like, okay, I'm not going in like the low 80s here, then it's just kind of like, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'll enjoy the views and have a good time. But that course was rough. Golfed Fairmont JPL though. Beautiful. Oh, yeah. Beautiful. I think it's like
your buddy still work there?
Yeah, I got a buddy that works there. So yeah, he gets me on for nice and cheap. That's why I got this hat. Actually, I got a neat little.
Look at you.
I noticed that.
Did you pay full price for the hat?
Not a chance.
Yes.
Good for you. But I golfed good there. I think I shot an 85 at JPL as well, because I got hot at the end.
You looked at our room while you were there?
I did drive past it.
Yeah.
And it was a little twinkle in my eye. I was like, yeah, remember when I
boarded up?
Remember when I vomited my guts all over that sidewalk?
And guess who took care of you? I did.
Well, you took care of the vomit. I don't know about taking care of me per se.
What state were you in though? Like, I've seen you in these parties at that time of night.
That's where I have the, or was
someone,
that the
if he's taking care of somebody, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, we're on a roll of back-to-back nights with noise complaints there. So the second one, an official noise complaint. The first one is just the neighbor banging on the wall because Bag Milk was yelling stuff into a cone. Old cone milk.
Yeah. Traffic cones are fun.
That'll happen.
I've got takes and everyone should enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at 2 a.m.
Huh?
Yeah. Way she goes. Well, happy to have you back, Tyler.
I'm happy to be back.
But now it's time for you to get to work.
Yep.
What do we got for a delicious debate this week?
Well, there's been some teams in the Pacific Division that have been fairly active both this week, today, even with the news that John Klingberg is going to the Anaheim Ducks on a 1 year, $7 million deal.
Is that just the Taylor Hall to Buffalo?
It's Taylor Hall to Buffalo all over again. It's a 1 year deal.
But if smarter, like, he has to hang on the beach.
Yeah, he doesn't.
What was Halsey doing in Buffalo as things aren't going so well? Like, I don't know what he do.
I do love the city of Buffalo, but I don't know. He probably could have played that a little bit better. But for Klingberg, if the Ducks do well and he likes it there, sign up, sign an extension. They have plenty of cap space, be a cornerstone piece there. If it's not going well for the Ducks, retain half. You'll get at least a first round pick for him at the deadline. And John Klingberg, before hitting UFA status again next summer, will get a playoff run with a contender to boost his value. So I think it's a deal that makes sense. It's just probably not what John Klingberg thought was going to happen 2 weeks ago.
I would have expected, him to like kind of lock into a more permanent spot at this stage. Same with Nazem Kadri also.
I still think this is a chance he goes back to Colorado personally.
He's got to find the money somehow.
They move Gerard and they'll have the money.
Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance.
Sure. Anyways, the delicious debate. We got the Klingberg signing. We had the Kachuk deal last week. So the question is, which team in the Pacific Division is the biggest threat to the Edmonton Oilers?
Biggest threat to the Edmonton Oilers.
Besides the Edmonton Oilers?
Themselves.
It tends to happen if you watch them long enough.
Yeah. I've been hurt before. Well, it's an interesting question though, because who got better?
Well, so looking at the standings, Calgary won the division with 111 points last season.
I don't think they got better.
No. Edmonton 104. They're bringing back essentially the same team they had at the end of last season.
More or less.
With a better goalie, a full season of Evander Kane, full season of Brett Kulak, granted no Duncan Keith, and a full season of Jay Woodcroft as their head coach. Yeah. And then there's LA, who I think LA did get better.
Yeah, they got better.
They got Kevin Fiala, made that big move. Scoring was an issue for them, and now it really shouldn't be as much of an issue. And they'll get healthier with, Drew Doughty. Like, they pushed the Oilers to 7 games with no Drew Doughty and no Victor Arvidsson. Like, that shouldn't be forgotten, right?
Vegas will be better just if they can be healthy.
Even though they lost Pacioretty, and we don't know about Leonard, but you're right. If Vegas is healthy, they'll be better. Vancouver will be better. You know, they had an okay offseason. Mikheyev and Kuzmenko are two like legit top nine kind of wingers for them.
Demko's legit.
They still have JT Miller. They haven't moved him, and Demko can do, can carry you through a lot of rough patches. So I think really the three front runners, because San Jose, Anaheim, like Seattle got better too, but like meh.
Seattle had a solid offseason quietly.
That's a long ways to go to get to.
Yeah, they have a long ways to
be an issue for the Oilers.
Yeah,
like that trade they pulled off with. Why can't I think of
Columbus for Bjorkstrand?
Just Rob, what a trade that was!
A great
for Seattle, man.
So I would say the three front runners to be threats to the Oilers are LA, Vegas, and Vancouver.
So if we have to just pick one, I'm going to say Vegas, just because they've done it before, I guess. If that makes sense, I think that they're going to be better just because I think more of their impact players are going to be healthy unless they have no goaltending. But in their first year, when they went all the way to the Stanley Cup, didn't they play like 6-7 goalies that year? Something like that?
With some injuries and
there
stuff.
There was a bunch of injuries that year. Injuries. So I think my pick will be Vegas. I think that they'll have a full year of Eichel. He should be better. They'll have some players that are back in the mix. I'm going to pick Vegas as the biggest threat.
I'm going Vancouver. I think, with LA, I understand why you say that, they got a little better, but they are still pretty long in the tooth. So you're going to, as some guys have come in, you're going to lose some of some guys. It's just the way it goes. And I think Vancouver is a little bit younger and just with their additions, I think they'll have the best opportunity to push your Oilers.
What do you think?
I'm really torn between those two. I think they're clearly one and two. Like, I still don't trust LA's goaltending. I think Pettersson and Quick are fine, but not substantial between the pipes. And Quick, his career's on the decline. I think there's no denying that. Vancouver, I mean, I like what they're doing with that forward group. Like, a young Putt Colson as well. He's a guy who could make more of an impact next year. And then you just go through the list of Kuzmenko, Mikheyev, Garland, Miller, Horvat, Besser, Pettersson. And it's like, oh shit, they actually have like a really, really good top nine. And while Vegas has Eichel and, you're hoping Mark Stone is back up to 100% health, when you rattle off the top of Vegas's lineup, Eichel, Stone, okay, Carlson, Marchessault, Smith, Stevenson, that leaves you wanting more, I think. And on the blue line, they're probably better than Vancouver is, right? Like, they have that big number one piece in Petrangelo that, I know Vancouver has Quinn Hughes as well, but Alec Martinez, Shea Theodore, Braden McNabb, Zach, I think I like their blue line more, but there's a bigger question mark between the pipes in Vegas. That's why my answer is going to be Vancouver. I think the forward depth is better and they're more solid between the pipes with a young Thatcher Demko, a guy who could any season now win himself a Vezina trophy. So I think surprisingly, even though they came fifth in the division last year, Vancouver could very well be the biggest threat to the Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
Could be. Don't let Quads know though.
Quads, if you're listening, and we know you are.
Yeah, he is.
Cool it.
Yeah, relax, Quads. Yeah. We've got more birds to show you.
We're just trying to get his hopes up right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Go on a cheese run.
I could use some spices as well.
What kind of cheese are we talking about here, though?
So Quads goes down to the States. He border hops from Vancouver to go buy discount cheese.
Bulk cheese and bulk spices that you can't get up here.
I want to know what we're talking about here. Can I get pictures and stuff?
Hit them up.
We did a whole segment on Real Life about Quads doing border runs to go get cheese and spices.
But then he had so he goes across the border all the time to do this. But before he came to Edmonton in August or whatever last year, he'd never been on a plane before.
So we were talking about...
It's harder to smuggle that stuff across the border on a plane. Yeah. You put it in the wheel well or something like that.
That's actually one of those things where...
Because we were talking about Nexus passes now that I'm thinking about it. We were talking about, it'd be great to have a Nexus pass. And Quad's like, I want a Nexus pass so I can make it down for cheese runs easier. And we're like, what?
Cheese runs.
Yeah.
I respect it. If you are crossing an international border in pursuit of cheese, that's fine with me.
I would like to get a photo of said cheese and spices. And I just want to see what we're missing out on up here.
We can make that happen.
Thank you.
Next time he goes down there, we'll absolutely get a photo of his cheese and spices. Back to the other question. Anybody else that you think could potentially threaten the Oilers in the division? What about Calgary? Let's just talk about it. They made a big trade last week after we spent an hour last Friday making fun of them for losing their two best players that evening. They went out and made a hell of a trade.
Great deal.
I don't know. If the Oilers made that exact trade, everyone would be sitting there going, well, dude, you just got two guys for UFAs. You lose them, they can walk for free. It's a terrible trade. So the fact everybody wants to get on board and just pump their tires so fast, I'm like, okay, I get it, but it's not over yet. You have to sign these guys. If you don't sign these guys and you move them at the deadline, you're probably, you push back your rebuild then at least a full season, right? If you made the trade for picks in this summer, then you're a little bit ahead of doing it in April or March or whenever the hell it is. It's a gamble.
It is.
And they have not signed him yet.
But if they do trade both guys at the deadline, they could get a haul in terms of first round picks for those two guys. And then could walk into
You'd think so, but what kind of deadline deals have we seen lately? Have they been that big? And Huberto, he doesn't have Barkov. He doesn't have Reinhardt. He doesn't have all Ekblad. And now he's in a fishbowl. Over there, it's pretty easy to go to work and then go to the beach. And who knows how he handles even playing in the West, the travel, the style of hockey. Like I said, in the fishbowl, it's not a guarantee right now. I would, as a Flames fan, I'd be a little worried. I'd be a little suspect about what's going on right now.
Giroux at the deadline got you Owen Tippett, a third and a first. And I think Huberto is much more substantial than that. I think he gets you another first almost on that. A prospect in two firsts is probably Huberto at the deadline. Uyghur is better than Ben Chiarot. And Chiarot got a first and a prospect as well.
But those firsts, what number do they go at?
Later.
Obviously like a 30 but still, and a two.
If you were to sell off at the value we threw out here, and I've done this exercise on Real Life before, but at the end of the day, it pushes a tough decision down the line. Because if you're 5 points out of a playoff spot at the deadline, what do you do?
Yeah.
You either sell off and go into the rebuild and accept defeat, or you keep these guys, try to add and try to sneak into the playoffs. It's a tough, tough decision to have to make at that time. If you decide to go all in, then you need to re-sign these guys for the trade to be worth it in hindsight. But even if you trade them, you would then walk out of the Tkachuk deal. If you get two firsts for Giroux, one for Uyghur, you already got one, and you're probably getting a prospect in the Uyghur and the Giroux deals as well. That's six, maybe more assets.
Are those going to be 23 draft picks? Are they going to be 24?
Either way, if you're going to rebuild, you need a lot of assets, right? Mm-hmm. You're just going to stockpile a bunch of shit. Or I really do think the Flames have a chance to sign both of them.
Do you actually though?
I do.
Don't you think that Trey Living would have talked to these guys before? Don't you think that, Florida must know what Huberto wants, right?
Probably.
They would have had this conversation and they said, all right, that's just too much for us. And that's why they went with Tkachuk. What does that mean then? What kind of number is he looking for? If 9.5, obviously it was more than 9.5. So are we talking 11? Are we talking 12? Is Calgary ready to pay that? And then all of a sudden it's not in tax-free area, right? With Tkachuk's contract being all signing bonus, or the majority of being signing bonus, that's all tax-free, right? And then his $1 million is what gets taxed in the whatever when he's playing wherever he plays, right? But I'm just really curious to see what Huberto's signing. If Florida said no, what does he want? And Calgary has to know. Trey Living must have talked to them.
They have $36 million in cap space next summer.
Who does?
Calgary. So if you want to keep Huberto, you could probably keep him.
But at what point do you say this is too expensive?
And that's a good point.
I guess to that point, how much pressure is there on Tree Living to avoid the rebuild?
Huge.
He can't lose his job. I don't think if you're a GM and you go into a rebuild, you're basically saying, okay, at some point I'm getting fired.
Yeah. This is someone you're digging up the hole for someone else.
With that in mind, then do you kind of, you lost Gaudreau, you lost Tkachuk. Do you open the bag for Huberto?
I think you're almost forced to, or at least have that conversation.
I'm with Rick in the sense that I can't wait to see what he looks like in Calgary, because it's not the same situation.
No,
it's not. It's not as good of a forward group. And the other thing that worries me, and this is the reason why Calgary wasn't even close to being in the conversation with Vancouver and Vegas for me, is are you getting a 40 goal season from Elias Lindholm again? Probably not. Are you getting 35 or whatever they got from Andrew Mangiapane again?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, if you've got Huberto, Lindholm, Mangiapane as your first line, that's a pretty solid first line.
Yeah, but those guys aren't used to playing first line minutes. Now look who you're playing against, as opposed to playing secondary fiddle. It's a little bit easier back there.
If you view Huberto as the Gaudreau replacement,
which I would, he's not Tkachuk. Yeah. He's closer to Gaudreau than
Tkachuk. And you still haven't replaced Tkachuk.
Yep.
And that's a big, big hole in your forward group that I think really hurts.
100 some odd points, right?
Yeah, he had 100 points last season. And like Mangiapane, again, he had a great season, and those goals really helped the Flames team that needed to score. But what did he shoot? What was his shooting percentage last year? And a lot of his goals came at the beginning of the year. He shot 18.9%.
He went off in the first half.
What is his average kind of shooting percentage?
Well, his career is 17, so it's a bit of a drop. But I would argue that even then, it'll probably drop off a little bit more than that. Like, he's a 20-25 goal guy, no doubt. 25, you could argue 25-30 goal, but I don't think he's hitting 35 again. Like,
and you got to wonder what happens with Markstrom. Is he able to do what he did last year? I mean, what did he have? Double-digit shutouts or real close to that anyways?
Well, like in the first half of this, in December, he had six shutouts by that point already,
silly, right?
So the Flames are a team that I think is ripe for regression, and there's no denying, like, their blue line's now
their
better.
Their blue line is stacked.
Yeah, and that'll help, right? That blue line in front of Markstrom, it'll be very hard to score on them.
Yes.
But I also think they're a team that's going to be sitting there going, ooh, it's tough for us to score goals.
Yeah, we'll see. But like with Mangiapane, you never know, right? That could just be what he shoots. Yeah, I remember the exact same conversation being had about Leon, where Leon, his shooting percentage never seems to dip.
Yeah.
But that's two way different players there, right?
100%. But still, it's not like shooting percentage always has to drop after a...
Yeah, that's a good point.
After a sky high one. I guess that's more so my point. Either way, though, I can't believe the trade that Tree Living was able to get done for a guy who vehemently said he wasn't re-signing there. That's what surprised me the most. Yeah. And yes, they're going into UFAs, but cross that bridge when you get there.
Also, if you're Florida, are you not trying to win a ring right now? Like,
no, I get it for Florida. I mean, I get why you'd bring in a Tkachuk.
Yeah, but
I don't understand why they threw in Uyghur on that deal. Like, I thought
I didn't think they had to.
Huberto, the prospect, and the first would be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. That, but like, to have Uyghur on there is like on top of that.
Is that just
he's very good.
Is that just moving salary at that point?
But you could have gotten so much for Uyghur, I think.
Who was Uyghur really playing with last year?
He was with Ekblad when Ekblad was healthy.
Because we're not going to run into like some Mark Fain stuff, are we? Where like this dude looked real good in the East and whatever, he comes over to the West. And
how dare you?
I mean, who is that? Oh, Fain and Lars, both of them, right?
Yeah.
They both had, I forget who they're playing.
Andy Green,
yeah. Or we've seen it though. We've seen it firsthand that the defense from the East came over with a lot of promise and whatnot, and it just really didn't pan out the same way. So the game's a little bit different on this side of the continent. So we'll see what happens here. But I'm definitely not ready to give the Flames that A+ grade that so many people are there trying to do right now. I don't think.
I don't know. I kind of am.
That deal, I give them a winning grade on, but on their offseason as a whole, I don't. Because you didn't replace Tkachuk. You replaced Gaudreau.
Well, you can't.
So you got worse.
And you just pushed,
the only thing they could have done
back another problem though.
The only thing they could have done to replace Tkachuk, and it wasn't even on the table for them, is if they made that trade to get Huberto and they signed Evander Kane, then that would have been, but that wasn't even on the table for him. He was off the market.
Well, fuck. It's a good thing Tkachuk waited and this Gaudreau thing fell apart at the last minute and you were able to sign Kane. Cause I could totally see a scenario where the Flames would have like done this deal to him and like, hey, Evander, how much are the Oilers offering you? 1 million more. Yeah. Come on. And that would have been a little worrisome.
Still surprised he signed for what he signed.
Yeah, I am too.
I think he is as well.
He had to know it was out there. Yeah, I mean, going in, you're definitely expecting a little bit more on both sides, the term and the dollars, but
he had his cards right again.
But he had to sit there and go, you know what? that's what I want to go with. And you had to think there's 6-7 year contracts out there for him at probably north of what we offered him.
Yeah. I think there are certainly downsides sometimes to having an old school GM who can be at times, I think a little stubborn. We talk about, you know, lack of creativity sometimes with the salary cap and stuff, but I think there are also clear upsides to it. And this Kane thing, even the Kulak thing, the Puljujarvi situation.
We'll talk about him in a second.
Those are clear examples of Ken Holland's experience shining through.
Yeah. He didn't blink.
Nope. No.
They're playing chicken. Holland's just like, all right, let's fucking drive, baby.
And I think they're getting to a spot right now where they're even more dangerous now, because you've got the almost a two-headed warrior there, where it's, he's kind of got that and he's got guys around him that are that new way of thinking, and you're trying to put the best of those two things together.
Yeah.
It is interesting, right? Like for an Oilers organization where there's so many people that take shots at them for hiring their friends and hiring their buddies or whatever. And then Holland brings in Brad Holland as the AGM, and all everybody says, well, actually, you know what? This is working out pretty well.
Remember everyone who lost their mind over Keith Gretzky being here? Keith's done a really good job, I think.
Yeah, down in Bakersfield. Like that's kind of Keith's thing, and Bakersfield is shooting up some good talent.
Yeah, they should be a fun team to watch. They're going to be young, but it's going to be fun.
Very young, yeah.
Cornerstone Insurance. Boys, I need to tell you about them. CornerstoneINS.ca. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone Insurance has been a family and employee-owned business right here in Edmonton, Alberta, with all of the insurance products you could ever hope for. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance. It's right there on the website. Get a quote. Get it done. CornerstoneINS.ca. CornerstoneINS.ca.
May I give you my testimonial?
Please.
So I recently acquired the Nation truck. Very exciting. Had to get it insured.
Which, by the way, you could win Tyler's truck at the golf tournament on August 19th. Nationgear.ca.
Wildly concerning for
me. What's Jay driving then? Is that Bronco?
The Bronco. Yeah, Jay's got the Bronco. So I needed insurance. Called insurance place number one. Sat on hold for 35 minutes, only to have them tell me after 10 more minutes on the phone, we won't insure this vehicle.
Okay, why?
Super. Because it has company decals on it. They were like, you need to register this as like a blah, 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 blah. I don't know.
Okay.
It was confusing.
Onward.
Called insurance company number two. Mm-hmm. Waited 40 minutes on hold. And then finally I got a text from Jay because I was complaining about it. He goes, why wouldn't you just call Cornerstone?
I was going to say, didn't you just read an ad?
And I was like,
how did you miss
it? And this? I was like, yeah, why am I not calling Cornerstone? I call Cornerstone. The kind of like reception picks up and I go, yeah, I'm looking for car insurance in Alberta. She goes, yeah, 1 second. I'll forward you to Bill. Instant. Did not wait on hold for a sniff.
They just,
and Bill's there. He's first and last name, Tyler Yarmsh. Goes, oh, great. What do you think of the Puljujärvi signing? So that's a good deal. I think it's good down back. All right. Well, let's get this insurance done up for you. Boom. Done within like an hour. Everything sorted out.
Insurance done. A little bit of Oilers talk mixed in there as well.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was great. And like to the fact that I sat on hold with two companies combined for over an hour and didn't get insurance. And under an hour, I was told, hey, yeah, here's all the options for you. Here's your cheapest one. Here's another one. Blah, blah, blah. Boom, boom. Which one do you want? This one. Perfect. See ya. Good. Done. Shout out to Cornerstone.
Shout out to Cornerstone. You too can have a excellent experience like Tyler did. CornerstoneINS.ca.
Shout out to Bill.
You brought him. You brought him up. Let's talk about him. Yes, Puljujärvi. 1 year deal. $3 million avoided arbitration. That was going to happen. That was supposed to happen today. I believe, right?
27, yeah.
Did not happen. What do you think? 1 year, $3 million. That's less than the kind of estimated $100,000 per point arbitration kind of thing that we were talking about. So yeah,
that would have had him at least at 3.6, if not more.
Yeah. So 1 year with $3 million. What do you think?
Good deal for both sides. Puljujärvi gets one more year and $3 million in his pocket and another chance to prove he can fit in the top nine here. The Oilers get cost certainty, whether they now want to move on from the player or just keep him as a reliable top nine kind of winger who's good at each end of the ice. And, you know, maybe he takes a step forward and that $3 million ends up being a real bargain for them. Like I see a bunch of positives here across the board.
I think it will. And let me tell you why. He had something like 23 points in those first 28 games last year.
Something like that.
Then he got COVID, then he got a little bit banged up and just didn't quite look the same down the stretch and into the playoffs. Maybe lost a little bit of confidence because of those injuries / COVID / being out of the mix, whatever. I saw enough in that first chunk of the season, the first 28 games, that it made me go, okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like let's calm down a second here. I want more of that. I want to see if there's more of that can follow up. And I think it's there. He showed enough upside to me last year that giving up on him because of a mediocre, I guess, tail end of the year, it didn't make sense to me. So I was very excited about the signing. I hope it sticks. I hope he's here. I want him to be. I think he's part of the solution.
Yeah, you know what? I've been on board the whole time with saying I think they're going to keep him. I think the contract's perfect for him. I think he can still fulfill it. I don't think even if he doesn't have a great, great year, I don't think it's going to be a terrible overpay. But I do think if he has a down year, that it's probably the last kick at the can with him here.
Yeah.
But I don't see that happening. Like you said, in the first half of the season, he looked really, really good. Mm-hmm. I do believe there was a deal on the table at that point, and they just chose not to sign it quite yet and ran into whatever. And it was what it was. But here we are right now. I think after the end of the season, he was a little down. I mean, that's just whatever, that happens, right? You're down on yourself. You just got eliminated in four in the playoffs. That's going to suck. You're a little sad, you know, you're a little frustrated. So yeah, you give it some time. We've seen it before that as time moves on, things can ease up. He's a little bit easier on himself and he goes back to that big giant smile. So I totally expect to see him here in September, whenever training camp is. And I would not be surprised at all to see him have a continuation of the first half of last year.
Tyler?
I still wouldn't be stunned if he ends up getting traded in the next month.
But do you think the offers are going to be better now? Do you think the offers, like, now that they know? I don't think they will be, because I don't think everyone's willing to make that trade based on analytics quite yet.
No, but people weren't willing to make that trade, and because
they didn't
reporting.
Know what arbitration would be. And let's face it, at the end of the year, he was back in arbitration, right?
Yeah, he's going to be an RFA again.
So isn't he in the exact same spot?
But at least you'd get a year of knowing if you want to sign a guy like that long term or not, right?
Yeah.
And I still think there's a chance he's moved in the next month. But I think if he's in the lineup, this deal presents a chance for him to be a great value for the Oilers. Like, if he pops you 20 goals and 55 points next season, which he was more or less on pace to do last year, you're laughing at a $3 million.
He was on pace for something like 42, 43 points over the course of a full year anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so I was a little bit surprised almost how some people were so down on his production, because I didn't see the same thing.
He had a bad playoff, so you can't argue that.
Like, yeah. What happened in 17 when Eberle didn't have a great playoffs and they moved on from him? What happened? What did we see out of that? You kind of learn from your mistakes. Yep. But I think he just turned in such a big argument of the pro analytics to the pro whatever, the anti analytics, I guess, for the lack of a better term, that it got blown up. So if you can take yourself away from Twitter and just the hockey world and look at the organization itself, I don't think they were that up or that down on him. And I think it's just with, you look at a player like that who can skate that well, can move the puck. When he's not scoring goals, the puck's not going in the other end, right? Mm-hmm. We already know that. So I mean, at that point, I think you definitely go one more round with him.
Yeah.
They don't have a ton down the right side, and they don't have a lot of size either.
And that is actually a really interesting point from an Oilers perspective is, you know, in terms of guys who are like natural right wingers, who is it?
You've got Yamo, who doesn't have a contract yet. You've got Puljujärvi.
Yeah. And granted, you know, you're probably hoping to, you're probably going to be moving and flipping someone over. Like Hyman, I think this year will probably be a right winger. And I know his numbers get a little bit worse on the right side. Or maybe you flip Kane to be a right winger, or whatever you end up doing. One of those two is going to be a permanent right winger.
And it might just be a one-year situation where Bakersfield is producing a right winger for us to play here next year, whether it be, I don't know, like Borgo, or maybe that's a little bit early for him.
No, I don't think
it's maybe too someone early. Steps up the Philip. What is that? The kid from
Noah Philp. Yeah,
from U of A. You never know. Like they have some players coming, but they're not ready this season, right? So maybe just play him for 1 year. And If it's a good year, cool. Let's try and figure out a long-term deal. If not, then we move on and we really focus on in Bakersfield and developing a right winger.
That's why another reason I think that it's interesting that Ken Holland hasn't traded a first round pick since he's been here. Even in the trade that saw Cassian go to Arizona, they just flip picks.
Yeah.
So hopefully some of these kids can start to like the board go. I know he's banged up right now, I think, right?
He's got some sort of, it kept him out of development camp.
But he's not playing at the World Jays or anything like that.
I honestly don't think a lot of guys are going to be playing there.
No.
Like if you have a chance at the NHL, I don't think any of those guys are going. No. I think if you're a top end pick, you're probably not playing there either. No. Nobody wants to get hurt there. And when you're going to this is the jumping off for your career. We saw with Tyler Benson when he ran into a little bit of injury at this point of his career and it really held him back. Maybe, who knows how long, but yeah, I don't think any of those guys are going to take advantage of this tournament.
He's a guy who could maybe be in the mix this year, hey?
He could be a cheap, could be a bottom.
He got another contract.
Yeah, no, I think he's got a good attitude, good in the room. He's going to be a guy that can move up and move down in the lineup between teams. And yeah, I he's not good, probably not going to be your top six guy, but I think he's done everything you wanted to in the bottom six to give him another two-way contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm almost surprised that he actually signed it himself.
Yeah, I was a little bit.
Yeah, me too. You'd think he would be, and maybe because he's a hometown kid, he's willing to give this team another chance. Maybe. But I look at the bottom six and go, ooh, it looks
Where's
crowded.
The opportunity?
Yeah. Like, especially with the Janmark signing.
I think, yeah, bottom six isn't a thing anymore. It's a top nine and a bottom three. So
yeah, that's fair.
Since you brought it up, summer is officially here. What a better way to cool off than at the rink during the first ever Summer World Junior Tournament. Single game tickets for the tournament are on sale now, starting at just $40. Grab your sunglasses. The brightest stars in the junior game are coming to Edmonton in August. Get tickets through the IIHF website. Go watch a little hockey. It's nice to watch some hockey in August. We never have this before.
A little bit of air conditioning too for this heat.
Oh yeah. A little free AC. Well, part of it. Included with your purchase.
It's probably freezing in there still, right? Oh, it'd be man. Outside in shorts and t-shirt or whatever. You're going inside, you got a pair of pants and a sweater in your bag.
Yeah.
Just in case, guys. I mean, you know how cold
that
it is.
That barn,
inside.
Yeah.
So the Oilers, I think, are looking pretty good up front.
Here are the daily face-off lines.
Go for it.
Ooh.
McDavid with Hyman and Kane. Draisaitl with Nugent Yamamoto. McLeod with Fogle and Puljujarvi. Ryan with Janmark and Shore.
All the way not on there yet, hey?
No. Could be. If you throw Fogle on that fourth line and your third line is Holloway, McLeod, Puljujarvi.
I think Fogle and I don't like it, but I think you'll see Fogle go for picks.
I think Fogle gets traded as well. Where does Brock have Nuge?
Second line with Draisaitl.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I think that's going to be a very fluid situation where you've got three or four centers to play the top three spots.
Yeah, because they look good when they were stacked up last year.
But McLeod, if they trust him to take on a bigger role.
I also don't mind him on the wing, so I could see him and Nuge flipping a lot.
I think they'll give him a bigger role. I mean, last year he played PP2, PK1, number three line. He was out there in the last couple of minutes. It was that dude got a lot last year.
Yeah, scored that big goal.
Especially once Woody came in, like that was his guy.
The interesting thing, though, you mentioned Fogle. Like right now, the Oilers' cap situation is still pretty complicated. Once you put Smith and Klefbom on LTIR, you're only going to have about 2.something million, and you need to get Yamamoto and McLeod done. That's not enough.
No.
So you need to move someone. It's either Puljujärvi or Fogle being sacrificed from the forward group, I believe.
And I think you've got more down the left side that you'd rather create that hole than on the right.
And just purely on an economic standpoint, Fogle had 26 points in 80 games last year. Puljujärvi had 36 and 65. Like we're just talking point per dollar.
Yeah, the offensive upside is...
You can't have a guy making a shade under $3 million on your fourth line. We just had that in Cassian.
Yeah.
So that's not a shot at Warren Fogle at all. It's just the economics of having a salary cap that hasn't moved in a couple of years, you know?
And it's not going anywhere next year.
Fucking tough in these streets, baby. You mentioned Kaylor Yamamoto. Bob Stauffer tweeted out a couple of days ago, Kaylor Yamamoto has an arbitration date scheduled for August 9th. He had 20 goals, 21 assists for 41 points in 81 games, including 12 goals, 13 assists, 25 points in 37 games playing for Jay Woodcroft. Yamamoto is a popular teammate who wins puck battles and plays on both PP2 and the PK. Wouldn't surprise me if he got a multi-year extension, says Stauffer.
Does the multi-year bring his dollar down?
Has to.
How much?
I think the multi-year would bring his, I don't know if it brings his value down.
Like, I mean, that's the thing, right? Give him another year and it brings his AAV down.
Based on the general arbitration rule we've been operating with.
Yeah.
41 points. That's $4.1 million.
I wonder if he would sign a 4x4.
I don't see.
We call that the Russell around here.
Mm-hmm. Right. And maybe like 4x4 feels like maybe it's close to market value, maybe a shade high actually. So if you're doing that, you're more or less walking him right to his UFA years.
Yes.
So that should be a value to Yamamoto actually, to be like, hey, you could be a UFA at 27 when the cap's going up. So maybe you could do like a 4x3.25.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking. You got to get back in the threes.
Yeah.
If you have it in a low threes and you extend it a little bit, that'd be all right.
And let's face it. This team is good.
Yeah.
People want to be here, right?
So like if you're Yamamoto, I think you would even have to consider taking 4 years by like $3 million just from the sense of you're still getting $12 million in your pocket. That's good.
Or I'm wondering if they go more along the line of a 3 year because a certain sexy German needs a new contract in 3 years.
I think the cap's going up by then and you'll find an extra.
Sure. But I think like with a guy like that.
What kind of raise is he getting?
If I'm Leon, I'm expecting a
$3 million
healthy one.
$3 million raise?
Oh. I think even that's light.
Depending on how much the cap goes up, I wouldn't be... I
could see a Mash and Connor.
We saw...
That's it?
You know what, though? We saw it in Pittsburgh.
I know.
Those guys didn't... Those guys didn't go... They didn't go crazy.
They didn't.
Right? They kept a respectable...
It's just a matter of...
If the cap shoots up $10 million, I could see Leon being like, oh, I'm setting the mark, baby.
Well,
14, 15 mil.
And who could say he wouldn't earn it at that
point? I've heard Nathan McKinnon wants to get 15 mil.
I was going
to
say, that's not even setting the mark at that point from what we understand.
Yeah. Or maybe they'll get hooked on winning.
That's what I think it comes down to. I think
you got 3 years to get some stuff done here.
Yeah.
And there's no reason, like this team is set. Like Holland has two things to do next year.
Yeah. And that's the interesting part about this group right now, the core of your team is more or less locked up. Up front, McDavid, Draisaitl, Hyman, Nuge, all under contract for the next three seasons.
Kane
in there as well. All under contract for the next three seasons. Nurse, CeCe, Kulak, and Bouchard. That's your top four. And they are all under either contract or team control.
Yeah. And your goaltender.
And your goalies.
And your future goaltender was supposed to be on the way too, right?
So, yeah. Dude, like this, they're so locked in right now. It's surprising.
They're locked in. Need some upgrades though. So that's my next question for you guys. Looking at it as it's set right now, Tyler, what is, are you on Daily Faceoff still?
Yeah.
What do you got for the defensive group right now?
Nurse with CeCe, Kulak with Bouchard, Broberg with Barry.
How confident are you in that group of six? If let's score it out of 10.
5.5.
Is it?
We don't know if Nurse is healthy to start the season. That's concerning.
He was golfing at Zach Hyman's golf tournament. That's probably a good sign.
But you got Nurse. Okay. He struggled in the playoffs, probably health related, all that. I get it. He didn't have a great regular season though.
Yeah. And you know, he was partnered up with Bush for a lot, and Bush was trying to find his way.
And I don't think Duncan Keith had a great season by any means, but you're swapping him essentially on this blue line for Broberg. Inexperienced, never had a full-time NHL job. That's concerning.
Like, well, I think you're swapping him for Kulak, who's going to take his minutes, and then you got Broberg coming in at that next spot.
Still, regardless.
Yeah.
Like, you're trusting Broberg with full-time NHL duties on a pairing, likely with either Bouchard or Barry. Like, that's just, I don't know. It's concerning. It's not like a blue line that you look at and go, wow, great, we're set. That's a blue line you look at and go, no, they need to add a piece.
But it's because they're young, right?
I think they've got, on the right side, I think they've got two of the same player.
Barry had a pretty good playoff, so just to give him credit for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the role of the player that we're looking at him for right now.
But then I would also give a bunch of credit for that to Breck Kulak.
Fine. And you know what? This is what I take the D into the season.
I think
you look at bringing in that extra piece mid-season around the deadline. But I honestly think that because you have so much youth coming in, and to make things easier, that you roll 11-7, it makes it easier for Bush. It makes it easier for Broberg. It makes it easier for, you get your next two defensemen that you're hoping are ready to go for next year, Nemo and Desharnais, or maybe Desharnais is a little bit further back than that, but they're getting some actual ice time now. It's going to be easier for them knowing that it's seven defensemen. I think that they're going to go 11-7 for the most of the year. It's going to help develop the youth. It's going to help keep some of the minutes down for some of the bigger guys. And yeah, you start looking at, you see what you have. Like, I think they are good enough right now to still win the division with the defense that they have right now.
Probably.
I don't see any reason to make that move right now. I think you make that move later on in the year, because you have to make sure some of these guys are ready for next year, and playing 11-7, as we saw last year, is helpful for these young guys.
But we know that there will be a point, and probably a stretch, where there is two guys missing from this lineup.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, that stuff's always going to happen, but you have to be looking at, in a perfect world, that if we roll 11-7, we're getting reduced minutes for the big guys, so they're ready to go to the playoffs. We're getting extra minutes for the young guys, so they're ready for the future, whatever it is. And then I don't think it's that terrible. I think it's good enough to get through the season.
I think they still need to add one more.
Would you make that add right now, or would you make that add midseason?
I would sign either DeHaan or Russell right now.
I would try to see what Fogle plus Broberg plus a first could get you.
Broberg, Fogle, and a first.
It's not getting you Chychrun.
But like, what could it get you?
I don't even know who's really on the market. Like,
well, who knows, right? Like, yeah. I would try to do something, because I just, whether it's on the third pairing of Broberg and Bouchard or Broberg and Barry, I don't like that third pairing at all.
No.
But in the regular season, I think it's fine. I think when the playoffs, for sure. But I'm ready to make a move at that point. And then do you take it into the season, try and find a team that's maybe not playing as well, and you kind of take advantage of a GM who's under the knife at that point?
Yeah, like maybe in the season, it gets easier to go get Carson Soucy, right?
That's what I'm thinking. Is making that move is going to be easier mid-season, because I think a lot of GMs right now are going to be feeling their pieces are worth full price right now, and hopefully in mid-season you can get them at 85 cents on the dollar or something like that.
I would feel so much better about this blue line if you swapped Barry for Soucy right now.
Love a guy, and I almost hate to say it, like a Larson type on that defense.
Yeah.
We don't have one.
But then you're asking Bouchard to carry all the offense. Well, the majority of the offense, right?
He did it last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because he had Barry still there. Like, do you have Barry there as the safety net for half the season for him? Make sure he's ready to roll. Not fill up his plate too much right now. That's where I'm a big fan of this 11-7, man.
They just don't have a 7-7 good D-man right now.
Oh, well, I think you use the youth and then you use your coaching like you did the last year.
Right now, Slater Cuckoo is your seventh defenseman.
Yeah. See, I get that. If Slater Cuckoo give me my seventh when I need six, but my seventh when I want to play 11-7, I'm going with the youth.
So what, you're keeping Nima lining up?
Yeah, I'd probably keep both of them up. And then when you're playing seven, and I think I probably break it down almost half and half, Nima Lyonen and Desharnais. So give them both and see where we're ready to go for next year.
I just don't think this team's in like a play the youth and wait and see kind of mode. I'd rather see them just go into the season loaded up. And that's why, I don't know, call Seattle, see what they want for Soucy, try to do something there. You know, call the Islanders, see if they want to do anything for Scott Mayfield. Maybe you can do something there. Like, the other thing too is, if you move, let's put Mayfield into this. He's 29, makes $1.45 million, good defensive D-man, right side. If you swap Barry for Mayfield, you have to add to that a little, but so depending on what you have to add, but you swap Barry for Mayfield, you're saving $3.05 million.
Then you're keeping Fogle and Yamamoto and
your forward group is better. And like, is that worth sacrificing a second or a prospect or whatever you have to give up?
Yes.
So well,
depending on what prospect, again,
I'm not like Jay, where I'm just going to sit here and pound the table and be like, trade for Chychrun or else.
I was texting him yesterday. I have it in full form that he's all good going 11-7 and making an ad. This defense core with the way it is right now is good enough to win the division, and you make your ad at the,
cause he was a beaten man yesterday. That's
oh yeah. I would just,
he's been trying to chase Bouchard out of the town for years right now.
Well,
I would just like to see, you know, a defensive D man in the Barry spot.
Again, if you're listening to this right now, please continue with dad is part of the solution on all of Jay's Instagram posts, please. We're starting to stack those up on all his pictures. They're a little old now, the photos. Jay doesn't post a whole lot there, but dad is part of the solution. Just that's keep okay. Just pumping keep on back. Them all through. So what would you give this defense out of 10? I asked Tyler, he said 5.5.
Oh, I'm probably not going much more than a 7.
7 is bold.
Yeah, but I don't think so. Like, to 70, me that 70% isn't that great, but almost these six defensemen got you to the Western final last year.
I would say I'd give a 6 out of 10, which is passable, but where are you thrilled? I'm not.
See there.
Yep. There's Tyler's flip.
Are you thrilled?
With my 7 there, I think there's a lot of potential youth there. And I think that they can,
I'm a big fan of the 11-7 just because it gives Connor and Leon an extra shift out there every now and then.
Yeah. But I don't want to do that too much next season.
I don't think it'd be them anyways. I think they split it up.
They split it up pretty good. Woodcroft was good at that when they do it, like not always doing Connor and Leon.
Yeah. I mean, he balanced out everybody's minutes so well.
Yeah.
I think that you get the right coaching, and I think you can go with that 11-7 for.
I'm looking forward to a full year of Woody. The positive messages, the weird poses, the power poses. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that's something as well. Like a full year of Evander Kane, full year of Brett Kulak, upgrade between the pipes. Like remember last year, they were running Koski and Skinner for a while. Campbell and Skinner is much better than that. And a full year of Woodcroft and his impact on the team, I think will be great. Like this team should clear 100 points relatively easily next season.
I can't wait to get the season going.
Like, me too.
Get the boys in here, start getting on the VO2 tests or whatever the hell those things are. And
yeah,
let's just get this season going. Like it's,
that's when whatever. I start
let's
to get excited.
August. Let's go.
That's when I start to get excited is like late August when you see the boys on the social feeds, they're starting to roll back into town.
Yeah, that'll be good. But at the same time, I'm not wishing away summer. Weather's been great.
It's been fantastic.
Years have been good.
2 weeks, we're going to Toronto, pal.
But man, we were in, remember how it was? We were in the conference finals.
I know. But this is almost like the regular season will still be fun, but there'll almost be that like anticipation and that pressure of like, oh, we got to get back. Oh, makes you want it so much more when you've had a taste of it, right?
Let's go.
I'm very much looking forward. That was something. I'm very much looking forward to the season. 75 days, according to Waz's countdown, as you're listening to this today, July 29th.
Yep.
So 75. We got a 5.5 for Tyler out of 10. We got a 7 for Rick. I'm giving it a 6. I want to hear from you. ON Radio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Out of 10, how comfortable are you with the Oilers defense as it currently stands?
Don't forget, most of these guys got them to this Western final last year.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I think a 5 is just a little bit too low for me.
Tyler?
Yep.
It's time for Ask the Idiots.
But before we get to Ask the Idiots, let's pause for an ad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now I want you to tell me about Montana's, because I know you are a big rib guy, because we're going to get Montana's messy around here.
I really do love ribs, and Montana's is the barbecue expert when it comes to ribs in Canada. They smoke their ribs in-house every day and sauce and fire grill them to order. Their legendary all-you-can-eat ribs promo is coming up 7 days a week till the end of summer. We're going to have more on this in the start of August. That's when things really get rolling, but there's going to be some all-you-can-eat ribs. Also, if you use the hashtag GetMontanasMessy, you can win some weekly prizes. I don't want to give away too much, but both this podcast and the real life podcast are going to be hashtag GetMontanasMessy. We're going to be getting Montana's messy, is what I'm saying, with some unique content in the next month.
We could even be doing some on location podcasting.
We may. And also Sunday, August 7th. So next Sunday, not this coming one, they're doing an event out at Rundle Park where you can try some of their ribs, and I'll be there.
Are you going to be cooking?
No, people don't want that.
You sure? Well, I heard on the radio today, you got the barbecue going now.
I do.
You know,
you did barbecue for the first time the other day.
He's dipping his toes in the barbecue world now. I think you should throw him in the deep end.
Some pork.
Like pork chops, like pork loin. What are we talking about?
Do some pulled pork.
I like it.
Pork loin, yeah.
Oh, nice. Pork loin.
It was good.
Delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice.
Corn on the cob.
Ooh.
Mm.
Did you grill it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Wrap it up in the foil.
Absolutely.
Lather it in butter and salt and pepper, so it's not healthy whatsoever.
Well, corn isn't healthy for you anyway.
Ooh. Fair enough.
It's just starches.
It's summertime.
It's delicious.
Who cares?
Eat what you got.
Exactly.
Yeah, keep it tight in the winter.
You're a young man still.
I got my
burning it off, no problem.
Yeah. You got
the lawn afterwards, or burn it right off.
You got a couple of years left until you start expanding horizontally. All right, Tyler, ask the idiots. Time for our friends at Montana's. I'm excited about some ribs. First question. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, is Ryan Nugent Hopkins a name in the rafters guy at the end of his career if he finishes out this contract? Keeping in mind, he'd easily be the longest tenured Oiler at that point. If that's not a high enough bar, what do you think it would take?
The thing is, while he may become the longest tenured Oiler ever, they have this thing about Hall of Famers only in the rafters, and I kind of like it. Like, that is reserved for an Oiler who is also a great amongst the sport. And Nuge just won't be at that level, unfortunately. He will be,
fucking dare you.
He will be an all-time great Edmonton Oiler, but he will never be a hockey, I don't see him being a hockey Hall of Famer per se. So that is why you need the Ring of Honor in the rink, up around, kind of like what the Blue Jays have. They have retired numbers, but also their level of excellence in the 500 level.
The upgrades going on at Rogers are going to look
sweet. We'll talk about that. But anyways, I think that's why you need like a level of excellence in Rogers that can show off some, we've talked about this 100 times, show off the fan favorite, show off the people and the players who are legend, people and players who are legendary Oilers, but not necessarily hockey legends.
Rick, Nuge up in the rafters?
Only if we get that Ring of Honor thing. Like, like Tyler said, it's a Hall of Fame situation and it is what it is. I'm completely behind the Hall of Fame part of it. So if you find a way to do the just honoring, you know, some of the greats through the city, then I'm 100% on board, but he's not getting up there with the other blue ones. And
I think he gets up there, but only if he gets his ring.
So you think if he wins a cup with the Oilers, he'd get up there?
Yep.
Does that mean he makes the Hall of Fame, or do you think he's the first, he's the first that, player that they choose? You know what?
Yeah, I just think,
but don't you think 94 would have been the first player to get up there?
Doesn't have
that?
A ring.
Yeah. He won't have a ring.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm going to say yes, but he needs a ring. Side question, just since we're talking about the Ring of Honor, you have 3 entries for the first class. They're not up in the banner. They're not up in the roof. Hell of an Oiler. Great player. Great for the city, but maybe just not Hall of Fame. Who you got? Who's your top 3?
I'm going, so I'm a different era than Tyler, so it'll be a little bit different, but I'm going Doug Weight. I'm going Ryan Smith. I'm going Alex Hemsky.
Tyler, what are you working on over there?
Just a little graphic for the pod.
Okay.
I'm going to go Hemsky for sure, Smitty for sure, and I will mix in a little, Cujo.
See, I loved it, but someone pointed out to me, the dude was only here for like a season and a half or something.
Yeah, he wasn't here that long.
Oh, that's fair, actually.
But what a name, what a player he had.
Hell yeah. I'm going to go
Guerin or Wade are good choices too, I think.
I'm going to go Bill Guerin, or not Bill Guerin, Doug Weight is, you just said Bill Guerin.
So I think Dougie has to be in there, man.
Yeah. Doug Weight, Alex Hemsky, because I loved him. And I'm going to go Gator. Jason Smith.
That's a good one. That'd be a good Oiler to honor.
I just feel like it's Ryan Smith's, like almost like the city will try and burn the place down if they don't Ryan put him Smith, in.
Yeah, I just try to be different.
Yeah,
of course, Schmitty's going to be in there. Question number 2, ask the idiots for our friends of Montanus.
Montana.
Rick, I'm going to start with you. What would be a greater downfall, the Flames dismantling or someone getting a hole at the Oilers Nation Open after Tyler sells his car?
Like what kind of down, like which is... I mean, to be fair, I don't see either of them being a downfall.
How
you
dare
know, I
you?
Love you, but if that truck got one, that'd be something else, right? And
I would have no car. We would have to start a nation thing where people have to come pick me up and bring me into work every day.
Honestly, at nation this point, rancher. I think it probably would be fine. I don't think it'd be that impossible to do. I think Surveyor Brett's probably got to pick up 2 to 3 days a week.
He might.
You know, I think that's quite easy to do.
I'm sure we've got some listeners out in St. Albert.
Well, you get Tyler in the passenger seat there. You know, he gets a little fucking talky. He's probably giving you some inside information.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, it's like your own little insider podcast at that point. So I think, honestly, you could probably auction that off if you really wanted to.
We'll make it like a thing. Like if you make a donation, to some charity.
You get to pick Tyler up for work.
You get to pick me up and drag me to work.
That's a very exciting prize.
Watching the Flames crash is always fun. So it's the best. There is not a bad thing here.
I got something in my eye.
What is the greater downfall, Tyler? You potentially losing the truck after selling your car or the Flames going from first to worst?
It's me losing the truck. I'm having so much fun driving it and I love it and I'm happy to be a truck guy. And if this gets ripped away from me, I'm going to be pissed. And I'm not crying because of the truck thing.
How long have you had it for?
Like 3 days, 2 days. I don't know.
How often do you plan on washing it? You have a strict washing schedule. I mean, dude, it's going to stand out.
Yep.
Yeah.
You start doing
if
this
it's
and
dirty.
Like, oh buddy, you're going to get blown up.
Jay took so much shit when the truck was dirty.
I'll wash it. I'll wash it a lot.
Ask him to show you his 3-minute wash.
Yeah, I want to see a 3-minute wash. So Jay successfully ducked the 3-minute wash for the entire time he had the nation truck.
Oh, because nobody made him do it.
Oh, yeah. He's
never been on video.
He's always said, though, it's not like from super dirty. It's from like regular.
Well, then I don't.
It's like
call
dusting
that,
as opposed to having to scrub the walls and stuff.
No, I want to see a full wash.
And
I don't want to see a spray off.
It's soapy water right away.
Yeah.
And then water. I think that's all he does. Like, I don't think you have time for the, even the soap brush at that point.
Oh, see, what I do is if I'm really trying to rush it, I'll do soapy water, but I'm hauling ass. I'm fucking making laughs.
Oh, yeah.
And then quickly switch to the soapy brush for as much time as I have left on that first dollar.
But if you do, you don't have to, because there's more soap coming out, right? So if you do the soapy water, there's soap on there in between time while you're not wasting any money. You've got the brush in there. You're taking advantage of the soapy water soap.
I just need some of that real thick soap coming out of the brush for a little bit.
People always say that'll scratch your paint, but I don't buy it.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Those are soft enough to scrub my body. What do you think about that, Tyler?
Have you tried this?
No. Two at one. Why is that man naked in the car wash?
$3 wash.
It's efficiency.
$3 wash, and that includes your nether regions.
Personally,
reach is better.
I am summoning the law of attraction and any other deity I can find out there for a hole in one. At the upcoming Oilers Nation Open,
I'm going to get to the golf course early and move those tees so far back.
You're not calling the pros already, going, "Hey, we need Sunday pinpoints."
It's going to be a 320 yard par three.
I just got to put it right behind the sand.
I might even volunteer
3 feet to drop and roll
and post up as the hole spotter.
Buddy, I know you. There's no way I would discipline to sit in that one spot.
I would have a heart attack if you made me like sit there on a lawn chair and watch. I don't think I could do it.
Because I've committed to, if somebody gets a hole in one, I will go live on all the nation's socials and I'm just going to sprint until I find Tyler. I will run around all 18 holes until I find him.
Can you do all live on like on one phone? And do you have to like hold like
I'll
four have two phones?
I'll just have multiple phones.
Like Waz is chasing you with Twitch and someone's got the whatever else and something. You're like two phones.
So if you're participating in this tournament, I need you to be hitting the range and working on that aim.
The only thing that could work.
Do we know what hole it is already?
Hole two, cattail.
What kind of, what distance are we talking?
It's pretty far. I think it like, when you, if like you shoot 160, from the, 170. From the whites, I think it's like 190, 200.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. I don't know if that makes it easier or better for you.
I think it makes it better for me.
Probably.
People are like, the good golfers can still go iron, but like the average golfers are going to have to go like 3 wood.
And what time do that hits like a weird bounce and bounce and bounce? As opposed to like, not a drilled shot, not like a pinpoint.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
Like it's.
I just think further away is harder to hit always. The only thing I'll say is the reason Jay brought this up because he was at Sherwood Ford and they're like, oh, we got the insurance for it. So maybe if someone wins this truck, I can like schmooze my way into like one of those sick, like electric F-150s.
I honestly believe that if this one went away, that there'd be a new nation truck in your driveway within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it wouldn't be all that bad. That eases my anxiety a little. Thank you.
Or if it's a new one, I would probably get first dibs on it.
You wouldn't.
Well,
not a chance.
Guess who passed on this one, my guy?
Well, exactly. You lost your chance.
Good times. Good times. Hey, Sherwood Ford, I'm still waiting for my 1987 Ford Escort GT.
You should have a bunch of them. We've given a lot of time by now. They had to have found us on.
Certainly, they've had to find one. Certainly. So there you go. Ask the idiots for our friends at Montana's. Get Montana's messy, Tyler.
Mm.
Is that how you eat ribs?
That's how I eat ribs.
Surveyor Brett, you can clip that anytime.
I was going to say, I thought you pressed a button. I was waiting for it to go. I'm like, that's exactly what you're going to hear when we get.
All right. Well, now it is time for Tyler to get his buttons ready because we are going to do hot and cold performers for our friends at Twig and Berries. You go to twigandberries.ca, use the promo code NATION15. You'll get a little discount on your order. Oh, they've got their spinning wheel back, Tyler.
What?
Hang on. I'm going to spin this wheel. Go.
What can you win?
Spinning, spinning, spinning. Ooh, 10% discount today.
On what?
Whatever I want. It just says 10% off my order.
All right.
I could go get some fresh nutsack undies. I could get an ODR hoodie. I could get the Connor hoodie.
Mm.
And then I can apply my discount code. Or I could use Nation15, and that's my discount code.
All right.
Start off with our veggies, Tyler. You're up first. Your Twig and Berries, cold performer of the week.
It's honestly, like, I know we just talked about it, but it's what I had written down. It's the fact that someone could win the truck off me, and I would just be so upset.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
That's
Rick,
it.
Rick, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
Well, you know what? I figure this is probably going to be your heart pot performer, but I've been getting really tired of this because we did this like 15 years ago with the Oilers, but the Blue Jays again. How are you going to watch tonight? Sportsnet.
Oh, that's so annoying.
It's after. Apple Plus. I'm done with this. This is pay-per-view hockey again. Like, we did this 15 years, 20 years. This is 2022. It's supposed to be on television. Like, stop doing this. I'm tired of it just going somewhere else. Like, it makes no sense. You're just making us pay for other games.
So I put a sizable bet on today's game, actually.
Even though there's no Bichette and no Springer.
Not in the starting lineup anyways.
Anyways, I'll finish off Rick's thing. I'm all set.
Well, I did a bet builder.
Ooh, spicy boy.
Oh, so I'd probably get, actually I have Bichette in there, so I'd probably get a push.
It's canceled. Yeah. So you might want to make another bet builder.
Okay. Well, cause I went pretty heavy also on Manoah strikeouts.
I will be as well.
He is the big man.
The
what'd you call him?
Call my man.
Manoah?
No, what'd you call what are you looking for? Strikeouts?
Yeah. Strikeouts.
What are they called though now?
Punchies.
Punchies.
Why?
Cause that's what we did this at the All-Star game.
Oh
yeah.
Three punchies.
I struck out
three guys and three punchies.
I liked the video that came out after where he was mic'd up during his inning at the All-Star game.
It was so good.
He was very entertaining.
Oh yeah, man.
I would love, we've talked about this before also, just a station where I could just listen to the guys mic'd up and talking on the ice.
Yeah.
I would pay extra for that.
Everyone would.
The chirps, they would have to dial in their chirps. They couldn't say some of the shit they probably say right now.
That's boring then. I want the real deal.
Yeah. You'd have to sign some kind of NDA.
It'd have to be like,
no,
a black
problem. I will sign whatever you want me to sign.
Who's your cold performer?
Shit. Why are you pushing me out of here already?
Yeah, I want to go home.
It is 2 o'clock after all. Fucking avoid the grind. Cold performer of the week, Tyler. Me and Rick are riffing here.
Let's go.
Trying to shoot the shit and you're pushing me out of the studio already. So you get my cold performer.
You're as cold as ice.
Stopped raining though.
That is true. I could have actually used a little bit of rain because it is hot, hot, hot.
It's not changing the temperature. It's only going to be muggy as shit out there now. It's going to be gross.
Yeah, that's true also. That's right. And there's no reprieve in the evening too, because it's still 30 degrees at 10 o'clock. Yeah,
and once it does even get slightly cooler, the mosquitoes just come out in full force and it sucks.
It's going to be a rough week.
Yeah. I found it interesting. I talked about this in real life, but I've got a new kind of morning routine where I'm getting up earlier to take Frank on a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's nice and cool. It's quiet. Yeah. I'm just trying to make that like a daily thing. It's interesting now this week, how it's so hot. There's just so many dogs out at like 7.
Yeah, everyone doing the same thing, right?
Yeah. Hot performance of the week. Rick, I'm going to start with you.
It's going to go
berries. Your hot performer of the week.
It's going to be shared between two groups, I suppose. It's going to go through Ken Holland and his team and Jesse Puljujärvi and his team for pushing past all the BS and just getting a nice little contract done and moving on ready for the season. So we'll give it to both sides of this contract. It's getting hot in here.
So hot. Mr. Yaremchuk.
Yes.
I am going to drag it out.
My hot performer of the week is the Toronto Blue Jays in their announcement that they're renovating the dome, going to be putting upwards of $300 million in there over the next couple of summers. They're going to redo the outfield, make it look more like a ballpark than just
what
a stadium.
Is the most exciting to you? I'll tell you what, for me, like the other day where I'm watching the game, George Springer hits that grand slam.
Yeah.
It just fell into the nowhere zone of there's nothing there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be cool that they're going to have fans all the way around.
I love that they're going to add like some patios and standing areas in the outfield just to give you a more unique way to experience a ball game when you're out there, just standing on a drink rail, crushing a beer. Like they had that in LA at Angel Stadium when we went, and that was really, really neat. The other thing I love, and I guess you'll experience this when we go back, Nook, the seats like up the left and right field sides when you're kind of more towards the outfield, because it's all geared to be multi-purpose, right?
For football and shit.
So you don't face the mound and the starting pitcher. You have to like turn and look.
What do you mean?
So like if the mound was like that wall, like it was all geared to be multi-purpose, not all for baseball. So the seats don't face the right way for baseball everywhere.
You're facing the foul line.
Yeah.
As opposed to like as you go down, you're not looking at the same focus point.
Right, right, right.
You're just looking directly forward every time.
Yeah, so they're going to change that as well, which I think will really help the experience. So I'm a big Jays fan. I'm so excited for us to go and watch 3 Jays games in 3 days because we have figured that we could sneak in Jays and TFC in one day. I'm very excited.
When are these rentals supposed to be all done?
3 years,
I think. 3 years,
on the broadcast yesterday.
Next year, the focus is going to be the outfield, and then I think the next year is like the infield lower bowl.
But this is all off-season shit, right?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how much concern the Jays have in the sense that no renovations, be it your house or anything, are ever done on time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But our building was done on time.
Yes.
We didn't get pushed back.
No,
I mean, the rest of this shit wasn't really done, but.
But remember like when it first started, there was like, oh, we still got to do some plastering, some shit up in here.
Yeah.
It was ready to go ish.
Anyways, the Jays get my hot performer. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you not. 9-1 in their last 10.
I'm excited to get there, I guess, before the Red House and see what it's like now.
Yeah,
it's still pretty cool right now, man.
Couple of weeks. I'm excited.
What time do you guys go for the games? Do you know? Like day games, afternoon, night games.
We got a night game Friday.
And Friday night, first 15,000 people that get there, they get a free Friends tea. Me and Jay very excited
about it. It's sitcom night.
Yeah, it's sitcom night. Saturday, when we go for that afternoon game, first 15,000 fans, it's Vladdy Bobblehead Day.
Dude, all I say is pray for nice weather because when the roof is open, the outdoor game, like the night game with the lights and shit and everything in the background is super dope. And then during the day game, when it's like I sat behind home plate for the afternoon game, smoking hot, but absolutely super damn cool.
Well, that was even like when this was, I guess, 2 weeks ago, Wanye and I and Chalmers, we were all at the Riverhawks game and it was like 30 degrees that day. Yeah, we just get absolutely roasting. Rick, your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
Already went.
Oh yeah, you did. So I'm going to finish it off. My Twig and Berries hot performer of the week is, I just thought it was hilarious.
It's fantastic.
Matthew Tkachuk. He said yesterday, there's a team in the same state here that's had a lot of success recently, and I'm here to change that. Evander Kane responded to the NHL's post with just a lol. I thought that was very funny. So Evander Kane, you get my hot performer of the week.
I can't believe it.
I like that the Oilers have a guy with a little bit of swagger like that. He's a little bit of an asshole.
He's got a lot of bit of swagger though.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had a guy like that in a while.
Long time. Not when they're not like that much swagger and that much skill.
And you can back it up. Yeah.
Yeah. In multiple ways.
Tyler's working on an article though for Oilers Nation talking about guys who you wouldn't be surprised if they necessarily take a step back. My vote for his article was Evander Kane. Just because the heater he was on was a heater of all heaters.
But was it?
Kind
of. It was a little outside of the realm of his career, so I can see why that would be a bit of a step back. But at the same time, man, now he's got to go out there and do what he did. Like you're playing with incredible players. This team is really fucking good.
Yeah. Amen.
I can't wait for this season to go on here.
Amen. All right, there we have it. Ask the Idiots. Hot cold performers. In the books. Tyler's looking at buttons. He's tired of me.
He's still writing his article here. He wants to get out.
Yeah, no, I'm betting on the Jays game.
Yes.
What do you got?
I'm just taking a peek right now. Manoah over 5.5 Ks doesn't pay out great, but if you parlay that with the Jays to win.
Yeah. Because I did a bet builder on that, but now I got to do a new one.
Yeah, you do.
Although yesterday, I was going to be a dickhead and go Matt Chapman over 1.5 home runs yesterday because like the odds are just screaming on those. I ended up not doing it because I'm like, nah, come on, it's not going to happen. Then bang, bang.
And right off like the last little part of his bat too and just the way it flies down the left out to left field is crazy.
Also, honorary hot performer of the week goes out to Alejandro Kirk for trying to steal a base.
That was so good.
Big man
moving. I say they give it to him. All right. For DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Montana's, and Twig and Berries, this is Oilers Nation Radio episode 215. Bag Milk, Tyler and Rick saying goodbye. Have a great weekend.
Oh, shout out Dan. Hope you had a good vacation, buddy.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some Nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.